The EMS Avenger podcast is sponsored by Zoll.
I think probably my favorite thing about being a content creator is that it forces me to maintain a high level, holds me to a level of accountability to make sure that I'm learning something new every day. I'm reading constantly. Most of my content comes about because of something that I learned, right? Either it's a follower that messages me and says, hey, I don't understand this concept. Can you make a video on this? Yeah, absolutely.
Jimmy Apple, the EMS Avenger. This is the EMS Avenger podcast, and this is Unscripted with Nurse Gwenny. And I just want you to know that the fit for today is this Colorado t-shirt, which I bought in Colorado the first time that I met Gwenny when we attended Crash and Learn together. And just, I don't know if Gwenny has heard me tell this story, but I'm going to tell the story to everyone else. Gwenny was a content creator for another company on social media, and I remember seeing her reels and thinking to myself, I am going to be that person's friend. I just know that I am. And we kind of had some minor communication here and there, but then it kind of ramped up before a Crash and Learn that was put on by Heavy Lies the Helmet. And then we met at Heavy Lies the Helmet, and I was right. We became friends and good friends, and I'm really excited to have you on the podcast today. Welcome, Nurse Gwenny.
Thank you so much, Jimmy, for having me. I think we should tell the viewers a story that happened when we were in Colorado that first time we met. So anytime I travel somewhere that is hikeable, I always go early the day before, and I spend that whole day hiking. And we did. There were a handful of us that went on a hike together. And it was Salim Razai of Rebel EM. He dared me. He said, I'll give you $500 if you jump in this river, because it was snowmelt. And I was like, say less, fam, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And I jumped in this river knowing that it was going to be cold, but didn't truly appreciate the experience of jumping in the cold. And it hurt so bad. I thought I had punctured my, I thought I had given myself a pneumothorax because it hurt so bad and I could not breathe. And I was super embarrassed, and I was trying to play it cool, like I wasn't fighting for my life. And I got out of the water and I was like,
yeah, you weren't fooling anyone. You could just tell that you would, like, you could see the immediate, I have made a horrible mistake look on your face.
And the sound never even gave me the $500, dirty rascal. No,
I'm just, man,
I wouldn't have taken it. But anyway, it was so embarrassing for me. And I was like, well, at least I have Jimmy and Sal here that can decompress my pneumothorax if that's what's going. Anyway, I recovered. I actually thought of that. I was on vacation in Mexico last week, and my husband and I did a massage, but before the massage, they have you do like the sauna and the hot tub and the cold tub and back and forth. And I was like, I'm scared to get in that cold water because I know what happens when you get in cold water. I've been terrified to do it since. But that was literally the first day I had ever met you. I was afraid that you guys were going to have to rip off my clothes and decompress my chest. Well, like, you know, a pen or a pocket knife or whatever we had with us hiking. Yes, so glad that our friendship has blossomed, and it's been great to be friends with you over the last few years.
Yeah, you were killing it on Instagram, and I was doing my own thing on TikTok, and I remember you messaging me and kind of like being a little bit kind of like hesitant about getting going on TikTok. And I was just like, just do it. I mean, just start cross-posting. What are you waiting for? And now, you know, you're killing it on TikTok, and it's just so happy to see. I'm so happy to see what you're doing everywhere and to see your success. You're one of the good ones. And I love that people often mention us in the same sentence. And it just is one of the joys of my life that I get to be associated with you in an educational context like that.
Well, thank you. And I love it when we get to be at conferences together. It's really fun for us to interact and see our followers. It's because of you that I'm on TikTok. I had this concept in my mind that TikTok was just, you know, young people doing silly dances and things. And I underestimated that crowd. And I really love the TikTok crowd. You know, they are young, they are eager. And I love getting students that are young and eager. When I was in nursing school, I remember doing some of my clinicals and my rotations and stuff. And I loved being with a nurse who was willing to teach me and who welcomed me in and didn't try to squash my eagerness and excitement for nursing. And there were others who, I remember my first ER rotation, I was so excited to do it because I knew that ER was the specialty that I wanted to go into. And my nursing school, our scrubs were fire engine red, right? Not like a muted burgundy, bright red. They were hideous. And I got sent down to the ER and paired with this nurse. And she said, "Your scrubs are too bright. Get out of my sight and wait over there." And I got to do nothing the entire rotation. And I felt so insignificant and like such an inconvenience to her. And it was such a terrible experience. And so as a nurse now, anytime I get a student, there's a student floating around the ER, I'm like, come on, come over here. Come on, come on, come on. Let's learn stuff. Let's do stuff. Let's let you get your hands on. Let's figure this stuff out and let's learn together. Ask the questions that you have. And that's the TikTok crowd. Most of them are, they're younger, they're eager. And I love that kind of student and that kind of practitioner. They're so fun to interact with.
Well, I'm glad you said that because something that I wanted to do today really was just kind of like have candid conversations about what it's like to be a content creator and kind of, you know, what we've experienced on the different platforms and what our challenges are and stuff like that. And I have had the same experience on TikTok. I actually think that there is a demographic there that actually is eager to learn. And when it's kind of conveyor belted to them off of TikTok, they gladly accept it. They may not be on there like specifically looking for it, but they are very happy to get it, which was kind of like my strategy. I thought it was only for like cat videos, but then I realized that, hey, if people are on here scrolling all day looking for cat videos, then maybe I can just get one of mine in between cat videos and teach them something. And I found that that was a winning formula, and I found a very friendly, welcoming community that is really not toxic in any way, shape, or form. And the people that do tend to kind of like maybe be toxic a little bit are just not finding matched energy there, and so they go away pretty quickly.
Yeah. I do like the TikTok crowd. I do find it interesting, the personalities of the people on the different platforms. And it's almost like, you know, I parent my kids. I'm a parent to all of them, but I parent them all differently based on their personalities and how they receive my parenting. And it's kind of like that with the different social media. I know that my TikTok tends to be my younger, more excited crowd. They love tutorials. They love it when I can show them something. Whereas Instagram, they are kind of my middle age, more like myself, right? And even looking at my analytics, I can see that the age breakdown is people that are closer to my age. They tend to be more my academic ones. They like me to tell them why something, right? They really love it when they can learn the concept, the why behind something. And my Facebook crowd is my older part of my crowd, people who are usually older than me. They're very quick to criticize. And a lot of them also have like a mom energy. So I kind of get both ends of the spectrum over there on Facebook. And then YouTube is the international crowd. And that's always very fun to hear from people that'll say, here, this is the drug we use in Australia. Do you guys use this one there? You know, if I do a pharmacology video. So it's just very fun. Just like parenting my kids is fun to learn each of their personalities. It's kind of that way with the different platforms.
I've noticed the different personalities there too. I've noticed that Instagram are probably the savviest crowd as far as like understanding patho, understanding data, and having the largest knowledge base across all aspects of medicine. TikTok tends to be the eager like learners who are drinking it up, and Facebook tends to have a lot of more pushback from people who have been in the field longer and maybe are a little bit more resistant to hearing new information. And so it's really challenging kind of like adjusting how to respond to people and engage with people on those different platforms.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So speaking of engagement, how do you handle engagement, particularly when that engagement, the internet's not a new thing now. We know that the internet can just be an absolute dumpster fire when it comes to, you know, the comments. In fact, when I was wanting to get onto social media, Ginger Lockett advised me just to stay out of the comments. I found that it's actually crucial into maintaining, you know, success is actually getting into the comments and engaging. But some of that can be It can change you, right? So yeah. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, sure. It kind of ebbs and flows with how well I handle it. Unfair criticism is super easy for me to just let it roll off like water on a duck, right? Like I've been criticized for my appearance. Like a woman on Facebook back a while said, straighten your ponytail. I put a claw clip in my hair when I fly because you can't put a helmet on with a ponytail. It gives you the worst headache ever. So usually at work, my hair is in a claw clip. We get a flight. I take my hair down. I can put my helmet on. Then when I get there to take care of the patient, it takes me, you know, 5 seconds to wind my hair back up and put it in the claw clip. But when I do that, I have really long hair. So it falls over to one side. And this lady's criticism was, straighten your ponytail. I can't take you seriously. And you would look more professional if you had a straight ponytail. And that kind of stuff is really easy for me to just let roll off because it's very clear this woman doesn't understand the nuances of being a flight nurse. I can tell she's never worn a helmet before. And also, I care very much about my brain and my personality and how I interact, the compassion that I give my patients. I actually don't give two shits about how straight my ponytail is. Look, I want to look put together. I don't want to look sloppy, but I don't think how my ponytail is falling sideways out of my claw clip really impacts my professionalism. So unfair criticism like that, or when people say like, you need to get Botox, or you have too many wrinkles, or you should try makeup. Like that stuff is so easy for me to just let roll off because it's unfair criticism. Now, I do appreciate if something about my content, if somebody has new data that I wasn't aware of, or if someone wants to challenge me, that's good. That is good for me. And I think probably my favorite thing about being a content creator is that it forces me to maintain a high level, holds me to a level of accountability to make sure that I'm learning something new every day. I'm reading constantly. Most of my content comes about because of something that I learned, right? Either it's a follower that messages me and says, hey, I don't understand this concept. Can you make a video on this? Yeah, absolutely. And I can make a video on that particular topic. But sometimes it's when I'm working on some long form content, I'll learn something new. Like I just got done. Okay, I'm going to announce it here first. I just got done writing a new critical care prep course. And I taught it for the first time a couple of weeks ago for Farmers Branch Fire Department. It's a suburb of Dallas. And it took me, I worked on it full-time hours, July, August, September, and October. That's all I did was focus on developing this long form content. I read hundreds of articles and went to all of these websites like Life in the Fast Lane and all of these academic places to learn new topics. And so that's where a lot of my short form content has been coming from lately, is everything I learned while developing that long form content and creating this Flight Ready with Nurse Gwenny course. And so a rising tide lifts all ships.
Absolutely.
And so if someone else, another creator, is talking about something, I'm like, ooh, I haven't seen that paper yet. Ooh, I wasn't aware of that shift in our practice. Let me go read it. And so it's good for all of us. I'm not competing with other creators. Jimmy, you're not my competition and you already know that, but just to show the followers, like we're not competing with each other. It makes us all better. You know, when Melody Bishop RT, she's become a good friend of mine through this creator space as well. She knows a lot more about vents than I will ever know. And so watching her videos forces me to go learn more.
Absolutely. I defer to experts, you know, in specific areas rather than attempting to own it myself.
Right, right. And I think you and I would both agree that's the intent of our content. We are not trying to give someone, our viewers, a comprehensive explanation of a topic. I can't give a one semester course on some, that's some of the feedback that sometimes gets a little bit under my skin, is I'll talk about a subject and someone, it's almost always a Facebook and it's almost always a dude. They'll say, you forgot to say this. It's like, I didn't forget to say that one thing. Like I only have about 90 seconds to two minutes to capture your attention. I can't give you a semester comprehensive course on EKG interpretation. And so while yes, that's a very good point, I couldn't fit all of the nuances in this video.
Yeah.
And so my hope is that people will see a video. I just finished a series of the 12 days of Christmas. I filmed that all in just a couple of days and scheduled it. And then I stayed off social media for a couple of weeks while I enjoyed vacation with my family. But one of them was talking about an Osborne wave on an EKG, which we see in profound hypothermia. And there were several people that like, oh my gosh, I didn't know this existed. So my hope is they'll see that video and then they'll go deep dive it. They will go to Life in the Fast Lane and read more about why the heart has this Osborne wave on the EKG in profound hypothermia. So that's my hope, is that I will spur other people to keep learning. And then I also love learning from people in the comments when they come and say, hey, did you know this part? Or anyway, I don't know where I was going with all of that.
Okay. I'll just pick up where you left off right there. Lot to unpack. First of all, the experience being a woman creator and a man creator is so vastly different because no one ever comments on my appearance. And I can't imagine what it's like. I mean, it's hard enough to deal sometimes with some of the criticism without it getting like just shallow and base like that, to comment on somebody's hair or whatever it is. So that's just, that is so absurd. And to think that in this day and age that someone who is putting the effort that you are putting out has to deal with that is just ridiculous. There is a nuance to creating content in 90 seconds that a lot of people don't really appreciate. And you're right, you cannot provide a dissertation in 90 seconds. So there's beats that you have to hit. And I also am shocked, not shocked, but I'm amused by people who think that we don't have to resort a little bit to a little bit of sensationalism to keep people's attention. The fact of the matter is that people have their finger on that screen and they're ready to swipe. Yep. And, you know, they're not going to listen to Mr. Rogers talk about the Krebs cycle. I mean, or at least a Mr. Rogers type person talk about the Krebs cycle. They're not. They're going to swipe immediately. So there, you do have to open a little bit with something punchy. You do have to have some videos that are a little bit provocative. You do have to have something that sounds a little clickbaity or attention grabbing. And that is just the nature of making reels. And so when people are like, well, this would you, the, what you said in the beginning, that was just clickbait. Well, welcome to reels, my friend. You know, and I don't think that I'm actually like baiting and switching people, but you know, you have to get people's attention. I tend to get disrupted by the most arbitrary type of feedback. Like if somebody, there are some people that provide some very thoughtful responses and it's clear that maybe I didn't appreciate the nuance of an article or a paper or a concept. Yeah. And I have to acknowledge, you know what? You're right. And I've taken maybe in 3 years, I've taken two videos down that I was just absolutely wrong about. And there's other videos where I've issued clarification after learning some new information.
Yeah.
But it's the people, every once in a while, there's just something that gets me. And there's a Scrubs episode, which is one of my favorite shows, where the janitor keeps warning the main character that an insult is coming. And throughout the episode, he just keeps waiting for this insult. And finally, towards the end of the episode, the janitor just goes like, you're stupid. And right. But it just absolutely devastates JD. And it, you know, like it just really devastated him. And every once in a while, there is a response that is the equivalent of you're dumb or you're stupid. And those are the ones that I'm like, why do you gotta be like that? You know? And I really actually do have to just kind of wade through that a little bit and just like kind of like unscrew myself from just little comments like that. Generally speaking, though, I am learning how to engage with people in much more positive ways. And that's kind of where I wanted to go next, is how have you learned how to conduct yourself? What lessons have you learned since you started? With me, when I started, I just was kind of, I had this personal TikTok page that I had my personal hot takes on and leaving some educational tidbits. And it just became a professional presence without me necessarily pushing it in that direction. And now I own that. But at this point, I am learning how to moderate and modulate myself so that I am professional, so that I am not clapping back at people. So I'm being respectful. And so I'm being kind most of all, which is something that I really, really want to stick to. Lots of communications lessons, lots of hard, humbling lessons on how to deal with people.
Yeah. It can be difficult. And I know that there are days when I just have to stay off the internet, because if I am not well, I don't want, you know, sometimes if you're overtired, if you're just having a grumpy day, you're quick to snap at people around you. And usually it's the people we love the most, right? Our spouses, our kids, the people we share a home with, we get snappy. And I don't ever want to do that to somebody online. Maybe they were having a bad day. So there are times where I just have to just sit on my hands and just let things go, because my threshold for what I'm willing to tolerate ebbs and flows every day, depending on, you know, what my mood is, things like that. And one thing that we started doing a couple of months ago, so I say we, my husband runs my business full-time now. It has grown to a point where it's he and my both full-time jobs. I still work clinically. I still work in the emergency department a few shifts a month. I still work on the helicopter a few 24s a month. But this is what we do now. And me handing him over my Facebook Messenger. Facebook is where I get the most yucky messages. And I don't think people would believe me if I told them the kind of messages that I get on Facebook. And it's not because I'm anything special. It's just, that's earlier when we were talking about the personality, the kind of stereotype of each of the different platforms. Facebook tends to be the one where the gross creeps are. Mm-hmm. And that stuff, it sometimes gets to me, because it makes me feel like, have I done something wrong to attract this? Like, I'm just trying to make educational content. I'm not shaking my booty on camera for views like that. That's not the kind of follower that I'm trying to connect with. And I don't understand it. So sometimes that is confusing for me and causes me to like evaluate and criticize myself. And that kind of stuff can put me in a yucky headspace. And so he runs my Facebook Messenger. So if you ever message me on Facebook, there's a much higher likelihood that my husband is going to see it rather than me. And it's kind of become a little game for us lately, is that, you know, some guy will slide into a DM and ask if he can buy my tennis shoes. Can I buy your shoes that have odor? Can I buy a pair of your underwear? I want to do this to you, XYZ. And my husband will message them back and, hi, this is Mr. Nurse Gwenny, and I'm not going to pass that message along to Nurse Gwenny. I hope you have a good day. And usually there's no response from these creeps, but sometimes, like, I got one that was benignish a couple of weeks ago, and somebody said, wow, you're so beautiful. And my husband responded, I'll pass that along to Nurse Gwenny. Thank you so much. This is her husband and I manage her comments. And he immediately messaged back and said, my bad. Sorry, dude.
Maybe now that people know that it's Josh that's getting these messages, it'll attract a whole new sort of kink.
I certainly hope not. But, you know, I really do love interacting with followers. I love it when he shoots me a message that says, hey, this person has this question, or, you know, here was just a compliment from a follower. It really means so much to me. I get so many messages. I feel guilty when people start out a message, you'll probably never see this. And I want my followers to know that, like, you guys matter to me. You really matter to me, every single one of you. And I try to do some mental health content, not a whole lot, because it's really energy expensive for me to share any part of kind of my mental health journey and how working in healthcare, really being an empath, took a heavy burden on me for a while. And I had to work through that. And sharing any part of that story is really energy expensive for me. So I have to be careful and protect that part of my story. But anytime I do share any tidbits, I always get a handful of people that reach out and will either say, thank you so much, this helped me, I'm struggling, or I'm struggling and I don't know where to start. Or even just if people reach out and just say, I passed my exam because of you, whether that was their NREMT or their CFRN or their FPC. That means so much to me. And I really appreciate that. And I want people to know that, like, I see every message. The creepy ones I'm not responding to, but all of the others, I do try to respond to those and let people know that, like, it's really is me that, like, I'm responding to you because you matter to me. And so if you're listening out there, you matter. Thank you for following. Thank you for commenting, because it the rising tide lifts all ships and you guys help to raise the ship that I'm operating out of. So I love you guys. Thank you for following.
And I feel the same way. I mean, what I feel like we're doing is we're giving something to people. I'm not trying to get something from people. I mean, that has this led to opportunities that I'm very excited about? Yes. And I mean, anyone who is pursuing a small business wants to be successful, but the goal was always to give something to people. And that's what matters. And I do see 100% of the messages that come in. I am able to respond to around 70% of them. Yeah. Simply just a matter of being practical and pragmatic. I cannot respond to all of them. And there's some that they've made it prohibitive to respond to. Like I'll get a message that just says, hey, and that's their opener is hey. And I'm not going to respond to that. That is, it's kind of funny. It's one word, but it is the most time intensive exchange because you know now that this is going to take a long time.
I don't respond to just one word because I figure most of those are probably bots. And so I don't respond. But when it's a full sentence, speak of the devil, look who just came in the door. You want to say hi?
Who was it? Jimmy.
It's Mr.
Ladies
Nurse
and gentlemen,
Gwenny.
It's Mr. Nurse Gwenny.
Is this the podcast?
It is, yeah.
This is the
we're
podcast.
We're live in three. Wait a second. We're already live.
We have been. Yeah, yeah.
Bye, Jimmy.
I noticed
some of these, if I leave them alone, they do respond with their actual message.
Yeah.
But yes, some of them are bots. And some people, I open it up and it's just like, poof, text, you know?
It's like two screens long.
If I can't see the message in the whole window, it's like, oh man. Okay.
A lot of words.
Okay. Here we go. Yeah. But I do try to respond to all of it. I've got the point now where it's not possible. And I don't have a Josh, you know, my wife, who is amazing and lovely and has helped me in a lot of areas, doesn't speak medicalese. And so some of the stuff she just can't help me with, but I think that if I farmed some of the scheduling out, that would help me focus a little bit more. So tell me the superhero origin story of Nurse Gwenny.
Oof.
Oh, wait, actually I want to come back to you were saying you kind of leave off the mental health thing. I think one of the keys to what we're doing right now, this goes back to allowing the people who are doing good work in specific areas to really own that space. You know, somebody like paramedic Sophie is really thriving kind of in the mental health thinking processes space. And she has invested so much of herself in that. And so when people tell me I should be talking about this more, I'm like, there is somebody out there who's doing incredible work there. And I would just much rather support what she's doing than put double the effort into what she's doing to put half the output out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Tell me how you got started in the content creation space.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was in high school, I wanted to either go to nursing school or medical school. And I got a full ride scholarship. Half of it was academic, half of it was athletic. I was a pole vaulter. And I went to a school that didn't have a nursing program. And I was like, well, I guess that's my decision. I guess I am going to go to med school. So I was pre-med. And after a year into it, I hated it. The chemistry was miserable. I loved the biology and things like that. But I was like, there's no way I can do this for 12 years. And so I switched my major and was unsure what I was going to do for a bit and took a psychology class, loved it. It just took to the soft sciences like a pig to mud. And so I switched my major to psychology, graduated with my bachelor's in psychology, and there's absolutely nothing you can do with a bachelor's degree in psychology. You can do some very low paying, I'm talking minimum wage jobs. I came out of college making, I think it was $11.50 an hour, working as a social worker, doing education. And so I would go into schools and we would do a little puppet show talking about good touch, bad touch, things like that. And that was not for me, because every single time we went into an elementary school and did this presentation and taught kids good touch, bad touch, here's how you say no to that. These are not good secrets. A birthday party, that's a good secret you can keep. And, Uncle Joey touching your private parts, that's a bad secret. We don't keep that, right? There would always be kids that would disclose, and that was way too heavy. I could not carry that burden. My hat is off to any social worker out there who works with pediatric victims of abuse, because every day I would go home feeling like I could just vomit and couldn't breathe. And that was not for me. And so I was like, what have I done? I can't do anything with just a bachelor's. I have to go back and get a master's. I was in a place in life where I could not go to grad school to get a master's at that point in time. Got married very young, started having kiddos very young. And so I just pivoted to being a seamstress at home so I could stay home with my babies, because I had sewn growing up in 4-H and things like that. But just kind of always had regret that I hadn't gone to nursing school. Couldn't stop thinking about it. And my first husband at the time, when he finished his master's degree, I said, I can't stop thinking about nursing. Like, I've just always wanted to do it. I'm hungry to do it. I would like to go back to school. So I went through an accelerated nursing program, which, if you're familiar with an accelerated bachelor's, it's 4 years of nursing school crammed into 15 months, and it is hell on earth. You have to have a bachelor's in something. It doesn't matter what. Refresh your sciences, because they make you redo them every 5 years. And then I went through this, your hair is on fire learning process, 15 months of nursing school. And it was awful. I was working nights as a tech on a critical care tele floor, making $9.35 an hour, working harder than I've ever worked in my entire life, you know, managing 15 patients, bed bathing them all, vitals every 4 hours. You know, that was really hard work, but I learned a lot and it made me a better nurse. So graduated nursing school, started out in the emergency department, very eager. I was 29 or 30 when I graduated nursing school. So wasn't the traditional new grad. Started out in the ER at a hospital in East St. Louis. So learned a lot very quickly. Moved to Kansas City a year later, started working at a level one trauma center where we just saw a ton of trauma. The trauma bays were always full. Learned a lot there. And but it was hard. It was kind of the equivalent of Grady. So the Grady of Kansas City was where I was working, and that's hard on a person. And so I decided at one point in time that, like, I got to get out of here. This is wrecking me. So I went to fly. And again, learning curve so high. Like, just because you're a good hospital nurse does not mean that you are automatically going to be a good flight nurse. There's a huge learning curve. And so started learning that. Passed my CFRN first attempt within 6 months of flying, because I had taken a course that's out there. It was a good course, but it was very academic, and I memorized all of the answers. So I passed and I had a good score, but I didn't understand these concepts. I knew the answers about looking at balloon pump waveforms, but I didn't really understand what a balloon pump was doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I memorized all of these things, but I didn't understand the why, and I wasn't okay not knowing the why. So I started deep diving stuff, and I would order medical school textbooks off eBay for like 25 cents. Like, you know, those textbooks are incredibly expensive, like $500 for one book. But if you get just one edition older, and really the only thing different is the page numbers, right? The content hasn't changed that much. Those are like 25 cents on eBay and pay $3 shipping. And so I would order those and I would read them and I would study them and I would watch YouTube videos and listen to podcasts until it clicked. And I'm like, oh, here's how I would have taught that if I would have been teaching that course. And I started also working for a ground service. They were wanting to launch a critical care transport program. So I was working ground 911 for a very short amount of time. So I'm thankful for that experience that helps me to connect with my paramedic colleagues, but started teaching for them. And then somewhere along the way, one of my flight partners said, hey, this popular education company is looking for blog writers. Why don't you do it? You're teaching this critical care program. And I was like, oh my gosh, no, I'm a nobody. Like, I don't belong at the table with those big names. He said, just humor me and just try it. So I sent them a couple of submissions and they were like, we love it. We would love to hire you. So I started working for this popular education company and didn't ask anybody's permission, just started making these short form videos of tips and tricks. I did a tip, Quick Tips Tuesday was how it started. And oh my gosh, if you could go back and watch my first videos, they're like so cringy. It's like, you know, the lighting in my townhome where I was living at the time and my kitchen table, no microphone. I mean, just like such low quality, but that's where we all started.
I have my first TikTok video saved in my drafts, and it is so cringy to watch. It is me in like this mock EMS uniform standing in front of my TV with my logo on it and going, we're covering a new study today. And oh my God, it is so dorky and stupid. I look at it, I'm like, how did I ever get this off the ground?
Oh my goodness, right? But we learned and we got better as we go, which is exactly how it works as a new nurse or as a new paramedic. If we think back to our earliest patients that we took care of, we're like, oh, Gwenny, you royally messed that up. Or like, oh, how could you have missed that IV or Foley or whatever it is? Like, we get better the more we do, right? And the same goes for the content creation. So I started making these Quick Tips Tuesday videos for this particular company, and just increasingly my role expanded there and teaching their paramedic refresher and then eventually teaching their critical care refresher. And then I wanted to write. It came from a couple places. First of all, my best friend was a flight paramedic at the time. And anytime she had a why question, she would text me, why is albuterol part of our crush injury protocol? That doesn't make sense to me. And I'm like, okay, well, let me tell you, here's why. And explain it to her. And that same flight partner who I'd been working with at the same time was like, you need to like do more with this. You need to expand. You need to get out there. And I kept just thinking like, no, there's other people out there. And then At some point or another, I was like, we need a book out here. Number one, to reach people who learn the way I learned, right? There are so many people that are memorizing these test questions to be able to pass these exams, because we all, in the flight world, we all have to have our advanced certification within 2 years or you're out of there. And so people are memorizing these answers, but it's not making them a better clinician. Passing this test doesn't mean they're a really good flight paramedic or flight nurse. It just means that they passed the test. What I want is for people to actually understand these concepts that converts into improved patient care. That's great if you can answer these test questions about a balloon pump, but can you actually manage a patient who has a balloon pump going? Do you know the things to look for and why we do these things and why? And so I thought there are all these books out there. You know, everybody used Will Wingfield's ACE SAT book, which is from the early 20 teens, like 2012, I want to say. There is the Back to Basics book, again, old book that's been out there for, and those were great, but those don't work for people like me who need to know the why.
Yes.
And so I took some vacation time from my full-time job and I locked down at home, and in like 4 days time, I'd kind of rinky-dink been working on it here and there, but I wrote my first book, But Why, and it's over 300 practice questions with the correct answers and the rationales explaining why we do what we do. And I wrote it. Are you grabbing a copy of it? Oh, I wrote it.
Available on Amazon or from nursemoney.com.
I wrote it to connect with the learners who I have found are that TikTok crowd, that they need to understand the why and they need it explained to them in a certain way. And for me, I want to save somebody that like 5-year journey that it took me to get to where I actually understood these critical care topics and not just memorizing the correct answers. And I've heard from so many people, like going back to it being so meaningful, when I hear from people that say, oh my gosh, I took this course, I took that course, but when I got your book, it finally clicked for me. Like that, there's no high that compares to that dopamine hit of people saying like, I had this patient and because of what I learned in your book, it worked for me. Or because of this video that I saw, I know I got that test answer correct. And that, oh man, who needs heroin when you've got messages like that in your DMs, right?
Yeah.
And I love helping someone have that aha moment. And so I think that's why I've been successful, is because I haven't tried to be like the other authors or the other creators out there. I'm doing things the way that it worked for my brain. And if it connects with someone, fantastic.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm not for everyone, and that's okay, because some people learn best in that academic setting more than the casual kind of let's make the learning fun setting like I try to put on.
Yeah. So I've had some videos where there's been some language that doesn't appeal like to the academic or something like that, you know, and you just have to kind of like take the L that some of your content doesn't appeal to everyone. I can remember having Will Heuser on and we were talking about ketamine, and he referred to it as being sexy. And there was a whole bunch of academics that just like piled on. We shouldn't be calling ketamine sexy. And I'm like, you know, we're just talking casually here, and that's what the that's who the content is for. And I just can't be all things to all people. So
yeah,
maybe I'm not for you. Yeah,
that's okay. Right. What a boring world it would be if we were all exactly the same and there wasn't any kind of variety out there. Right. That I don't want to be part of some small, narrow minded world out there. And that's okay. Right. We all need kind of different flavors of learning things, because for me, I didn't learn things on first exposure. It took me so many times of reading in a book and watching this YouTube video and listening to that podcast and, you know, hearing this person talk about it and asking that doctor this question. It took me multiple types of exposures for it to be able to work. And so the same is true of the social media creators. When people watch my video on an Osborne wave, they might be like, huh, that didn't make sense to me. But maybe then they go see somebody else do a video about it. And then maybe they go to Life in the Fast Lane to read with the, and then eventually it clicks. So it's good that we have some variety.
And yeah, there's plenty of concepts out there that I was exposed to time and time and time and time again. And it just could not land for me. I can remember struggling years ago with understanding Scarbosa criteria. Somebody would tell me the criteria and they might as well have just started like speaking an ancient language that hasn't been spoken in a long time, you know, for as much sense as it made to me. But actually one of the challenges that I love is taking information like that and finally cracking it in a way that I can explain it easily, you know. And I can remember sitting with Scarbosa because somebody had asked me for a video on it. And by that point, I was fluent in cardiology, but I just was like, as much trouble as I had with this, I just don't want to go out there and butcher it. And I sat with that for months. And then suddenly I was like, wait a second. People already know how to spot upright ST elevation. People already know how to recognize a posterior infarct. Why is this so complicated? The only one that needs explaining is the one where you have like Smith's modification. And I was just like, we'll just call that super elevation, you know, where it's like elevated, but really, really elevated. And I was like, I love those moments where you find where something finally clicks for you and you figure out a way to bring it to people. There's nothing more rewarding than that. And there's nothing more rewarding than getting the feedback that you helped explain something to someone and it clicked for them. That is the feedback I live for. The you helped me understand this. You helped me pass paramedic school. You helped me pass the paramedic exam. Every message that I get like that is just money in the bank for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I have actually on the top shelf of my bookshelf across the room, I keep handwritten cards. Some of them are 2 or 3 years old and I keep those. And on days where my threshold for what's going to hurt my feelings is lower, I turn to that shelf and read those handwritten messages from people that just say, thank you so much for what you do. Or I have a folder on my laptop of either DMs or comments that just like sparked joy. And I screenshot those and save them in there. And sometimes that's what I'll go to remind me, because there are moments, and I know you've had them too, Jimmy, where for one reason or another, we're just like, I got to shutter this thing and shut it down. Like, what am I even doing here? This is ridiculous. And so I have to go back to those encouraging messages to remember, like, this is a good thing. We're doing the right thing.
I was talking about this with Melody RT the other day, about those days where you're like, you know what? That's it. I'm just shutting the whole thing down. I can't handle this. This is too much for me. And it is always because of sometimes because of other life stuff, but sometimes it's just because someone just got to you. It found that one little chink in the armor because you were vulnerable or stressed or tired. Mm-hmm. And there are those days. And what people have to understand that someone like yourself, someone like me, someone like Melody and hundreds of other creators out there are not trying to win the internet. They actually have a passion for teaching. They have a passion for medicine. They have a passion for you, the person that's out there listening to this podcast right now. And they're thinking about you. They're thinking about what they could teach you. And they're giving a piece of themselves. We're giving a piece of ourselves literally to you and entrusting you with some of that. And when somebody doesn't steward that the right way and thinks that we are issuing a challenge or throwing down a flag or a gauntlet and that you have to now defeat us, that is such an exhausting way to engage. That is, it's exhausting engagement. And so there are days where you're like, I personally cannot handle this much longer. But then you just suddenly, you know, you wake up another day and you're like, I got this. I got 10 videos in the bank today. And suddenly you're just like back on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually have a handful of just faithful followers who've been following me for years, who are just always such a source of encouragement. And there have even been moments where one of them will message me and say like, hey, you were on my mind today. I've just been praying for you and Mr. Nurse Gwenny. And I'm like, perfect timing, because I'm feeling so discouraged today. XYZ happened, like, you know, this comment just for whatever reason hit me wrong. And they're like my hype crowd. And like, I've never even met these people in real life. Like Mustache Medic, he follows me on both TikTok and Instagram. He's always such a source of encouragement for me. I have another follower on Instagram. She's probably one of my favorites. Rainbow Sprinkles Unicorn is her screen name, but she is always sending like just positive things, like just a handful of followers that just bless my heart. And I know that I can be like, this really stung today, man, it stunk. And they just allow me to safely offload this. And like, literally, I've never met these people in real life. And hopefully someday I'm able to meet them and thank them, because some days it's the people like that who keep the Nurse Gwenny platform open instead of just shutting it all down.
I know both of those people. Like,
do you?
I wish, yes. Like the mustache, I think Mustache Medic was in my live yesterday. And I know Rainbow Sprinkles Unicorn, because I think that they have a whole bunch of emojis by their name, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah. And I wish those people knew how they actually are keeping us going, you know?
Yeah.
So speaking of followers, something that one of my favorite things is getting to meet people and to talk to people that follow you. And it's such a great opportunity, because I'm very introverted. And so I don't initiate in public like conversations with people very often. And I can remember being on a little weekend getaway in Chattanooga a month or two ago, and we were right next to a fire station, and some of the guys were sitting out there, and I was like, I should just go over there and talk to them. But I don't have anything within me that can overcome that sort of like, like public courage to do that. But being recognizable now allows people to come to me and initiate conversations. And I love every second of it. And what I wanted to ask you, I know you feel the same way. That engagement is great. But what I want to ask you is, what is the wildest, weirdest interaction you've had with someone that recognized you?
Oh, goodness. It happens when I'm on the job pretty frequently. I have two stories for you. The first one is a funny one. I spoke at the Kentucky Ambulance Association conference. You were there last, in October. Mm-hmm. And when I got there that morning, I gaslight myself into not feeling nervous. This probably surprises some followers, but I get incredible stage fright, but I don't allow myself to say that, right? So I manifest feeling confident on stage. But for whatever reason, that one, I had been sick. I was really sick that week. And I was tired, hadn't slept well because I've been coughing myself silly. And so I wasn't on my A game. And I was afraid that was going to translate to me just flubbing up on stage. And then when I saw the building that it was in, it was huge. And I was like, what have I said yes to? That I don't belong here. And I was feeling kind of yucky about it. And so when I walked in, I was feeling a little timid, and there was a registration desk, and I walked up to somebody who was in one of the uniforms, and I said, hi there, can you point me to XYZ place? And there was someone bent over writing on the table, signing in, and she heard my voice and she turned, and at leaf blower volume, it was so funny. She goes, holy shit, it's Nurse Gwenny. And my husband was right there with me, and we just cackled. Oh my goodness. We just cracked up. It was really funny. But it happens on the job a lot, because where I fly at, we tend to do really long flights. And so everybody knows that I live in the Kansas City area. And so it's not unexpected for people to see me at hospitals in this area. But where I fly at, I fly 3 hours from where I live. And then we fly really far. Like, we take patients pretty far, more than any other rotor program I've ever worked for. And so I end up running into people who would not otherwise anticipate running into me. But we were dropping a patient off in the emergency department. It was a trauma patient. I was giving report to the primary nurse and my partners. It always happens with one particular partner, and he just, oh my gosh, he makes it 10 times more embarrassing. But this, I'm giving a report, and at the always at the end of report, I say, is there anything I can do for you, or do you have any other questions? Because we'll stick around and help. Like if the patient's really yucky and they need help cleaning them up, we'll stay and do that just as a courtesy or whatever. Many hands make light work. And so I asked that question, and she goes, you're Nurse Gwenny from TikTok. And my partner from across the trauma bay. And you know how many people are in the trauma bay. It's like, yeah, we're blessed that we have Nurse Gwenny. And he's just piling on. I was like, And he just kept going and making it worse. And I was like, Brad, stop. But no, I love it when people say hi. It is so fun because I want people to know, like, people will sometimes say like, oh, you're a celebrity. I'm like, no, I'm not. I put my flight suit on the exact same way you do, one leg at a time. Like, I'm just a nurse, just like you are. I'm the same as you. I just have a TikTok about it. So authenticity is probably one of the most important values to my channel, is when people meet me in person, they're going to meet the exact same person they see online, because I'm not pretending to be someone that I'm not. Like, sometimes I still get scared on really rough cases. I'm like, oh no, just like you do. And there are sometimes where I encounter a pathology, like I learned about one recently called PRESS, and I can't even remember what it is, posterior something, something encephalopathy syndrome. And I was like, I have no idea what that is. I'm going to have to Google that. I'm going to have to deep dive that and search up to date and figure out what I can learn about that, because I don't know what that is. So I'm the same as any other nurse or flight paramedic out there. Like, I just have a TikTok about it.
Yeah. I work on a multidisciplinary team on the ground. And so there's at least three people that are on the team. And plus we may have, you know, a preceptee or something like that with us. And so, we go from hospital to hospital, and we go through the ambulance entrance, you know, in Atlanta, which is a very busy EMS area. And so there's always crews out there. And so there is rarely a call when there's multiple crews there, where when we're going in, that somebody doesn't say something, much to the dismay of my crew members, who are all just like, oh my God, yes, it's EMS Avenger. Yes, everyone knows him. Oh my God, it's EMS Avenger. And they all make fun of me. But the cringiest story is there was a crew that had a pediatric patient that was coming into our hospital that was post-ROSC, and their vehicle broke down. And so our team went out to intercept them and to bring them in. And we get on board, and, you know, it's a very intense scene. And there's a parent in the front of the ambulance, and, you know, I think the patient collapsed on a sports field or something like that. But we were in the back, we were kind of assessing what we had, looking at our pressors and doing all this stuff. It was very serious, very intense. And I was listening to some lung sounds, and one of the medics just go, I could see one of the medics on the truck just kind of go, just suddenly just like stopped and just like had this 1,000-mile stare. He was watching me, and I was like, I know he's going to say something. I know he's going to say something. And he just goes, are you EMS Avenger? And like my whole crew was like, even now, really? Even now? You know, everyone took it in a lighthearted fashion, and I was like, I am. Can we talk later? You know,
I do keep Nurse Gwenny stickers in my flight suit. So anytime somebody says hi, I always thank them for introducing themselves, and I give them a Nurse Gwenny sticker, as long as I have time, you know, not in the middle of a patient care scenario. Wait till it's over.
Same. So. Yeah. I hand out the candy with the stickers when we're on scene. What I want to close with is asking you about having to take the L. And that is when you put something out that you find out after the fact that was just wrong.
So I don't delete it. It hasn't happened too many times. And I don't want to say that because like, I'm never wrong. It's because I'm terrified to put something out that's wrong. I don't want to look like an idiot, but moreover, I don't want to lead someone in the wrong direction. And so if something ever happens, please clear my search history, because I'm embarrassed at sometimes the things that I know are true and right, that I will research before I make a video just to make sure that I'm doing, like, do we actually breathe oxygen? Like that's
you're talking to the person that uses my calculator for 4 times 4.
Okay, I will make sure that nobody finds out about that if something ever happens to you. I got your back, okay? Because I'm so afraid to put something out that's incorrect, but it has happened. I did a video on ETS, on the Hamilton expiratory term, whatever. I can't remember what it is right now, but it's how the vent knows to switch from the inhalation phase to the exhalation phase when you're in non-invasive ventilation. And I had it backwards. I thought the ETS was the percentage of term that it had, the flow had to reduce by that much, but it actually is the percentage that it reduces down to. And so that nuance and intricacy I had wrong. And Melody Bishop RT, absolutely brilliant RT and a phenomenal educator. She messaged me and she was like, hey girl, you got that backwards. Here's how it actually is. I said, thank you. So, and she approached, this was early in our friendship, and she approached it very carefully. And she was like, I don't mean to, and I'm really sorry. And, and I was like, no, thank you. Thank you for helping me to understand it better. And then the next day I did another video on ETS and I was like, yesterday I explained it to you guys wrong. So it wasn't something catastrophic like me telling someone to give, you know, I don't know, some kind of crazy medication or something. Issuing a correction video on that. And then I had another video. I don't know if I want to go into this story or not, but twice I've had a video that I make get stitched into something, and it was edited in a very creative and manipulative way that made it sound like I said something that I was not saying, and edited out the parts of the point that they were trying to make when they stitched my video. I had already said those things in my video. And that was really hurtful because that wasn't fair. I have no expectation that life is going to be fair. Like, it's just not, right? Like, good things, bad things happen to good people, and sometimes bad people have good things happen to them. Like, life just isn't fair. Mm-hmm. But the way this was done, it was malicious, and that was really hurtful. And I left that one as well. And then I just had to search within myself. Anytime I get criticism, Jimmy, I think I've probably told you this 1,000 times. I always look for, is there any truth in it? Because if there is, that is a gift. That is a gift to me, an opportunity for me to grow, learn, do better moving forward. However, if there isn't any truth to that criticism, that's what I was talking about earlier, really easy to let that roll off because that speaks more about them than it does about me. But every once in a while, it'll hurt my feelings and it will get to me pretty good. And one of those times was a video that I did that I didn't think would get any engagement or traction. It was about, it was just statistics about the use of lights and sirens and about using them judiciously and not using them all the time, right? But for whatever reason, that video fell into an algorithm. Another creator who I have no respect for, yeah. They don't create educational content. They create sensational and yucky content.
Yeah, it fell into the dude bro algorithm.
Yes. And it got edited into something that sexualized me. And that one probably was the hardest I've ever taken anything. And I wasn't all the way healed from things that I had gone through in my personal life at that stage. But that one, I nearly shuttered the Nurse Gwenny stuff, and Mr. Nurse Gwenny like had to pull me out of a spiral. And in full vulnerability, I was suicidal over that one for a few days because of the amount of hate that I got, and I internalized so much of it. And all I did was cite statistics from the Department of Transportation on how the use of lights and sirens increases the likelihood of us getting in a crash. But it went crazy. It was stitched by someone else into something that was unfair and gross, which attracted a lot of really yucky attention. I've gotten death threats over that. Like that one put me in a really dark hole. And so I had to do a lot of work on me to make sure that I was never in a position that I could allow something like that, even if it was unfair, to hurt me that much. So it took a lot of work, introspection inside of me, so that I never let that happen again, no matter how hard the criticism is, even if I'm in the wrong.
I've had a couple of maybe three that I just was absolutely incorrect. And two of those times I came back with, let me clarify something on here because I had this wrong. One of them, I was just dead wrong. And I had actually broke my own rule, which was I don't speak about concepts where if someone were to take it to the next level, that I would not be able to go there with them, right? You don't want to walk out to the edge of your knowledge and speak too confidently, because if somebody pushes you a little bit further, you're just going to fall off a cliff. And that's what I did. I spoke about something that I was not confident in. It was off the cuff, and I misunderstood what I was responding to begin with. Mm-hmm. And it got the attention of all the wrong people. And, you know, I just deleted it. I had no desire to continue to feed what people were, what some people who I don't really respect were dealing with. But I'm very grateful for the people who behind the scenes, like Tyler, just gently messaged me, like you've had those messages, and said, hey, can I walk you through this a little bit so I can kind of show you, mm-hmm. you know, where you might be misunderstanding this. I'm so grateful for that. And I will always, always, always accept being wrong, because that means that you learn something new, right? The biggest lessons that we all learn is when we're wrong about something. I can remember early in my paramedic career giving solumedrol to a CHF patient thinking it was COPD. And I remember the doctor saying, bad choice, Jimmy. I will remember that to my grave and put it on my gravestone. You know, that's how meaningful that was to me. And so, you know, being wrong is meaningful in that, you know, it helps me make a better decision and has more information. But that one was a little bit, that one was kind of taking it on the chin a little bit. But I wish people knew how grateful we are to be corrected, you know. And again, we're not trying to win the internet, we're trying to educate. And in the same time, if we get educated as well, that's just a win.
Yeah. Yeah. But do remember, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. And so remember that, like, we're real people. Like,
yeah, you can give me a citation and that's just as good, right?
Yeah. Very good.
Gwenny, thanks for taking this little journey about content creation with me. I am and always will be a huge fan. You have your flight. What is the name of the course that's going to be coming out?
Flight Ready with Nurse Gwenny. And it's going to be available on the Nurse Gwenny Library, which is just going to be one subscription price. I want it to be available. I don't know if this is a secret that I think CAPSI doesn't want anybody to know. Paramedics can use nursing accredited content to renew their NREMT as long as it pertains to EMS. It doesn't have to be CAPSI accredited, right? So I got accredited by the Kansas Board of Nursing to create all of this content, and I will have about 100 hours of content, and it will include a full critical care course in the Nurse Gwenny Library. We have other contributors that are also putting content in the Nurse Gwenny Library, and it's just going to be a one-time fee for a one-year subscription. You can get as many CEUs as you want out of the Nurse Gwenny Library, and we are so thrilled to announce it. This is the first announcement of it, Jimmy, so thank you for letting me talk about it. But within that, it will have the Flight Ready with Nurse Gwenny course. If you want to bring it to your institution, we are also traveling. We just taught it for the first time in Dallas a couple of weeks ago. It is a two-day course. The in-person version goes so quickly. This is not for the novice, the beginning paramedic or nurse. This is someone who has a good foundation of experience and a good knowledge base. I don't do a review of anatomy and physiology. And can I tell you really quick, this is going to take me 2 or 3 minutes to tell you the story of how this came about. When I left the bigger education institution that I had been working at for several years, I had so many agencies and people reach out and say, are you going to create your own flight course? And I was like, no, use the one that from that company, that's, it's going to take good care of you. It'll get you ready for the exam. And I had so many places that said, we want you. We want your way of teaching. Please come teach for us. And I said, no, use the company. It will be fine. And I had this 2 a.m. idea, you know, one of those that makes you sit straight up. Every critical care prep course that's out there teaches the content in silos of body systems. And you learn all of your pulmonology stuff all by itself. And you learn all of your cardiology stuff all by itself. And you learn all of your trauma stuff all by itself. But that's not how our patients present. Our patients present with multiple pathologies, sometimes a trauma patient was somebody who had a STEMI while they were driving and then they drove into a bridge pillar. Or sometimes your COPD patient has ARDS, and those are two opposing pathologies, how we would manage them with a ventilator. And sometimes your endocrine patient becomes a pulmonology patient, and sometimes your neuro patient develops neurogenic pulmonary edema, and so now it's pulmonology. And so I thought, I learn best by doing. I learn best by experiencing a patient and weaving these concepts together. How can I replicate that? And so Flight Ready with Nurse Gwenny is 36 patient scenarios. If I can't learn on an actual patient, a scenario is the next best thing. That's the best surrogate for actual experience. And so I have 36 patient scenarios that are based on published case studies of patients that are really good learning opportunities. Some of them are fictionalized versions of combining 10 or 20 patients I've taken care of, little, you know, tidbits, you know, because of course none of them are HIPAA violations. But they're real life patient scenarios. And then we take side quests. So it's a journey of side quests, and it moves so fast for 2 days. But I also filmed all of the content in the studio. So it's like 30 plus hours if you do it online, and it's 2 8-hour days that just go so fast in the classroom. So if you want to bring it to your agency, please reach out on nursegwenny.com. Mr. Nurse Gwenny will respond to you. We'll get it scheduled to bring it to your agency. But when you get it in person, you also get the online version so that you can rewatch those lectures in the not so fast format. But all of that will be on the Nurse Gwenny Library. It's not an additional charge for the flight course. It'll be in the Nurse Gwenny Library, where I've also taken hundreds of social media videos and puzzle pieced them together. And so to get, I love it when people say in the comments, this was more helpful than the health stream I watched yesterday. I wish I could get CEUs for it. Well, now you can, my friend. You can come to the Nurse Gwenny Library, and I might have like pediatric bites. It's going to have 20 or 30 videos that I've done all about pediatric pathologies. And once you watch all of those, there's some quiz questions at the end. You answer those, bam, you've got a CEU. If you are stuck on all things endocrine, you can watch, I've got a whole bunch of maybe 25 endocrine videos. You watch all of those, you answer a few quiz questions, bam, you've got another CEU. I have them for ventilator, trauma, medical, abdominal pathology, so much of what I've done on social media. So if that's the way you learn in those little snippets, now you can get your CEUs for it in the Nurse Gwenny Library. Check it out at nursegwenny.com. It's going to go live, we're hoping, February 1st.
Awesome. I told you that we were wrapping it up, but you just made me remember something. And this is going to be in the podcast, but I'm also probably actually just going to clip it out and release it tomorrow, if not today. Something that has been on the front of my mind, and something that I've been talking about with Prodigy, who is allowed to use my content to award CEs to people, is the concept of microlearning. Mm-hmm. And the fact that so many people now are getting their education through microlearning. And I cannot tell you how many times I've walked into some sort of EMS room, either with my coworkers or other teams, where they have some sort of video on in the background and minimized, you know, that they're eventually going to bring back up and just, you know, guess the answers at the end. But they're scrolling on their phones and they're talking about what they've learned from Nurse Gwenny, from EMS Avenger, from Jeff Murphy, from all these other creators that are out there putting out this amazing content that's only like 2 to 3 to 4 minutes long. And they're not getting any credit for it whatsoever. And to get credit for it, there's a lot of hoops that they have to jump through. I mean, you can't award 5 minutes of content to a paramedic, even if they watch a 5-minute video, and neither can Prodigy. And so we have to be creative about it. However, a physician can go out there right now and review a paper, and they can get credit for however long it took them to review that paper, whether it was 5 minutes or 15 minutes or 30 minutes. We need to normalize this. And I know that the National Registry is on board. CAPC just hasn't been won over yet. And so I'm trying to recruit people over to the side of, let's make microlearning a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely the way of the future, because the psychology of learning within the American culture has shifted from where it was in the 20 teens. It used to be to be educated on anything, whether it was for CEUs or for actually learning the content, you had to go and sit down in a classroom. Well, the COVID pandemic made it to where a lot of that was allowed to happen online. And so it was distance learning, but it was still full length. But I get, like I just said, that comment that I get from people so often is, I just learned more in this 3-minute video than I did in a 2-hour lecture in paramedic school. And so we have people like you and I who have the gift and the ability to be able to take a difficult concept and boil it down to, here's the content, here's the nuts and bolts of it, and it clicks for these people. That's valuable, right? It's yes. not just a silly TikTok video of somebody dancing in front of an ambulance, right? It's learning that's going to result in improved patient care. And so we need to be able to offer CEUs. So how I've done that is having those 20 or 30 videos, it has to meet a certain time limit. And so right. when I combine all of those, so somebody's, it's going to be like, whoo, a lot of learning in a short amount of time. In that 50 minutes, they might learn about 20 different topics, but they're all related. But that's how I've been able to meet that threshold. And I tell you what, getting accredited is no walk in the park. It was a 6-month process and it was difficult. I would rather have an unmedicated colonoscopy than go through that process again.
Well, I'm glad that Josh is monitoring your DMs so you don't get offers.
Oh my gosh. That was a phenomenal callback. Great work, Jimmy.
I will just say that the current educational model rewards holding you hostage because mm-hmm. you have to keep people for a certain amount of time. And mm-hmm. we need to get to a point where we're acknowledging that we have a more sophisticated audience who are able to appreciate more complex concepts in a shorter amount of time. And mm-hmm. that is the type of learning that we need to be rewarding. Winnie, thanks for appearing on my podcast. And hopefully I will see you again at a conference in the near future. If not, I miss you and I will talk to you later.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Jimmy. And thank you to the followers.
Where we lay, lights are flashing colors.